You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Yeah, you're listening to Urban Sports, and we're back. We got a full roster. I'm here with I'm Wally, Ray, GZ, Will T. They're all here.
Hey. Yeah, we in the building. Absolutely. I've been 2 weeks off. I took a couple weeks off.
Glad to finally have you back.
Good to be back on a big night for Cleveland. Hopefully Washington will have something similar to this in the future.
Yeah, hopefully, man.
Doubt it.
Doubt it.
People say that about Cleveland. So if the Nats win a championship, you know, and the Wizards coming off a championship season, that's what this would look like. Or if the Nets were in the World Series, I guess I should say, and the Wizards were coming off a finals victory. That's far-fetched, right?
The Nets, I think, are
not close.
They're not close. Right. In Washington, the Wizards, we all know what their downfall is.
And what's their downfall?
Ernie Grunfeld.
Oh, my man. You're very consistent with that.
I am. Yeah, extremely consistent.
Thanks for listening all tonight, you know, on such a big night in sports. It's great.
I know, right?
Loyal really listeners. What's up, George?
What's up, George? We appreciate you, homie. Yeah, and matter of fact, yesterday I was on the MVP sports talk show on Crown Media Radio, and it was a decent show. Big ups to Stats and DJ Styles. Appreciate the invite. We actually did a Go Hard in the Paint segment over there too.
That's infidelity.
No, man. You know, they wanted to show love. They wanted to show love. That's how they
You didn't even have the decency to come home first. You just spent the night out. So you went over there first, didn't even respect us.
What are you talking about?
Open dude.
What do you mean?
Listen, the first Hard of the Paint of the season should be done on this show.
Oh, that's your point. I get your point. That's a good point, man.
It is.
Don't worry about it, man, though. It's like our segment is now like out there in the Baltimore atmosphere.
I hear you.
Hey, we'll see.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are the topics. We're going to talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Detroit Lions 2017 on Sunday at 8:15. We will preview Sunday's Redskins-Cincinnati Bengals game in London at 8:30. We'll discuss the opening week for the Washington Wizards. We'll make our Week 8 NFL and fantasy football picks at 8:40. And finally, at 8:48, we'll discuss the NBA's opening games, and we'll go hard in the paint. Okay, Will T? We'll go hard in the paint. We'll have our go hard in the paint segment.
It's not the same feeling.
All right, like I mentioned earlier, the Redskins lost to the Lions 20-17. On the outline, I got the Eagles. You know I'm backwards. They lost the Lions 20-17. Matt Jones fumbled officially once, but you could say he fumbled about twice or three times, to be honest with you. Did he cost the Redskins the victory?
No. Playing prevent defense the last minute of the game cost Washington the game.
Your thoughts, Ray?
But Matt Jones did. His fumble did contribute to it.
Largely.
Momentum killers, especially the one near the end zone. I'm sorry. I got to blame this one on Matt Jones. Because if this was Kirk Cousins who fumbled, the media would be all over it. He's been the whipping boy. It's time that Matt Jones, you know, received the same treatment. As he should, right? Because you can't fumble multiple times in the game as a top running back, as a starting running back. I was glad to see him get benched. I wish he wouldn't have got back in the game. I love Matt Jones, but especially coming off the week you had, you need to build momentum.
And this is my question about Matt Jones. Like, Adrian Peterson fumbles like 2-3 times. You keep him in the game. Like, it's Adrian Peterson. But who is Matt Jones to fumble that many times in a game and stay in the game, even when he fumbled, like you mentioned, Ray, that key possession the red zone when they looked like they had a good chance to score in that, with that opportunity?
It's amazing, too, because he has a fumbling problem. We know that. Mm-hmm. But all of the analysts,
the pundits,
and, you know, commentators saying that he's working on a la Tiki Barber, high and tight. Mm. But in that case, he was, fighting for extra yardage? What you can do, but again, you got to know, and especially close to the end zone, defenders are going for the ball. They're going for the strip. Just not wise football. I hope he gets smarter. I also believe that can come down to coaching as well. Mm-hmm. I think each and every week they have to prepare the team, and obviously the coaches, they dropped the ball, in my opinion, because now it seems like there's more of an emphasis on, you know, coaching him up. But, you know, where was that the entire season, knowing his history?
Like you said, the whole talk in training camp was he fixed the situation.
Yep.
Like, he fixed the fumbling problem. And for 2 years, Matt Jones has been a fumbler. So when is enough and say, you know what, he is a fumbler. This is it. He can't change this.
It's like a car. If you get it fixed after it breaks down, you continue to maintenance it. You don't just say, okay, I fixed it, I'm done. So I think it's continuous.
But I think at what point do you say, okay, I've invested enough into this car and we need to get a new car?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the question that you, I think you realistically.
It's a new car.
You still, well, it's a used car that has shown that it's inconsistent and has shown that it's had major troubles that cost you big time at major points in your life. So I think you have to realistically ask the question. Is it time to go with Chris Thompson versus Matt Jones?
Well, that I like that because that it goes along with the analogy. If you have two other cars and you have one brand new car, which is Rob Kelly, wouldn't you just switch cars? You know what I mean? I'm not going to drive that for a while. I'll get it serviced and I'll let it sit. I'm going to drive my newer car or I'm going to drive my other car that's working a little bit better right now. Will you just describe Chris Thompson?
But I think I think if you look at the winning franchises in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
when you have a guy who's a running back.
That's subliminal right there.
No, but he's right.
Yeah, the winning franchise. I think it's fair to say that this has historically hasn't been a winning franchise over the past 25 years.
That was subliminal.
Always something
behind it. Direct.
Extremely
direct.
That part was direct.
This is extremely direct. No, but. let's look at, I don't know, New England, which has become the gold standard for how to run an NFL franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Matt Jones fumbled the ball 7 times over the past 2 years, he would still be a running back in New England?
No, we seen it with, what was that kid, Gray?
Jonas Gray.
Yeah, who had an awesome.
He had 200 yards.
Yeah, and then he put the ball in the dirt, and Bill Belichick said, you know what, you're not playing anymore. So, and that's my thing about Matt Jones. This team wants to be a winning organization, a winning franchise. Then, you know, hold people accountable. That's my thing. Hold people accountable. Matt Jones fumbles the ball, at crucial situations. Then, you know what? Go with your other option. Will, you mentioned, Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson is shown to be one of the more productive running backs for this team at the moment. Now, granted, he's small and built and has been injury prone, but when he's on the field, he's made plays, and he's made positive plays. You got Robert Kelly, though in limited action, has shown to do some good things on the field as the running back. So in my opinion, I think that the Redskins are at the point right now where, yeah, they should try other running backs in that, to start, because Matt Jones isn't doing anything special for me to say, okay, well, Matt Jones is going to be the Redskins franchise running back for this team for years to come.
Now you're starting to see the light. Now you're starting to think like I am, like think like a winner. It's not think like a Washington fan, Washington football fan.
I say again, what you mean think of like a winner? Like, right?
Think like a winner.
Like, you like the Eagles. Well, you did like the Eagles at the time.
Yeah, I did.
But they weren't winners. They didn't win no championship.
Over the past 25 years, they've been more successful than your team.
Well, have they won championships, though?
No.
We hold teams on winning championships. That's what we do.
I hold people off of what have you done lately. That's what I judge you off of.
I look at
what you've done 25 years, 30 years, 50 years. That means nothing right now.
Look, I look at that showcase. That's how I look at
it. Look at this day in sports. It's all about Cleveland, right? And Cleveland won a championship before one of their professional sports franchises? Of course. But it was how long ago?
Like 50 years.
So I agree with your point. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really, though? That's what we're going to do right now.
Now you're thinking like a winner, right?
We're doing right now.
Now you're going to come at me like that after I disagree with you.
No, I'm just saying. You're thinking like a winner. Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Right now you're listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Ray TC, and Will T. Listeners, if you could bench or if you could make the decision, which running back would be your start running back? Matt Jones, Chris Thompson, or Robert Kelly. Call in the numbers 240-478-3140. That's 2.
Or would your choice be a running back that's not on this roster, i.e. Pierre Thomas or?
Oh, wow.
What? That's not bad.
What? Pierre Thomas?
I think you
start?
Have.
Start? Are you kidding
he
me?
Could.
You saw what he did the last couple of games last year for this franchise.
He could.
I'm not starting Pierre Thomas.
I don't think he's an upgrade over Chris Thompson.
Or Matt Jones. Matt Jones has a fumbling problem, but he's good.
I don't know.
Matt Jones, the way he runs. Matt Jones doesn't run behind his pads. He runs too upright.
And he sat.
But he's always run like that.
And he's
and like I said, I compare that to AP, even though I know he's not AP.
No, AP's not scared to get a contact.
Exactly. Matt Jones, falls forward. He go. You know who he reminds me of? No.
No. Clint Portis wouldn't get a contact.
No, you remind me. an old Dallas Cowboys running back, Hambrick.
Oh, okay. I was about to say Marion Barber.
Yeah, definitely Hambrick. He reminded me of Hambrick. Always.
Hambrick, that's true.
Yeah, always falling down, always falling forward, you know, or falling before contact comes.
I was talking about Clint Portis in his career. He was trying to avoid injury. Oh, he would fall.
You're right. You are right.
He would fall often, but he didn't run like that before early on in his career. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm also, you know, from a grand scheme of things, looking at with a bigger picture. The kind of glass half full approach. If you tell me Trent Williams goes down, even though it's at the end of the game, Josh Norman, you know, you got all these injuries, no Jordan Reed, and you should have come away with a win on the road, then, I mean, I think the Redskins should still, you know, be excited. And the Redskins, outside of one ignorant dude on ESPN who is starting to just get on my nerves,
showcase that dude.
People are actually recognizing the Redskins are a talented football team as a group, which shows, you know, that coaching has improved, that coaching is good, although I did take a shot at them earlier because I criticized them because, yeah, Matt Jones, that's something that needs to be ongoing, just working on that in practice, ball security.
So you mentioned, Will, earlier, you mentioned the last drive, the game-winning drive, I mean, them rushing three. What were your thoughts on that drive anyway that Matthew Stafford led for the win?
Honestly, I kind of felt that something like that was going to happen if you gave Matt Stafford enough time just because of the way he's been playing this year. The way he's been playing this year coupled with Washington, even though Washington's defense has been opportunistic and has made stops when they needed to on occasions. Mm-hmm. I just thought that this defense will falter when it comes towards the end of the game for them to step up and make a play and win the game.
Here's what upset me. The pass rush. You knew they were passing the ball, correct? How come they never got to Matt Stafford on that drive?
Oh, they did. They just missed tackles.
Well, they didn't get me sacked. I'm sorry.
Okay, because Ryan Kerrigan.
That's kind of what I meant because that's what I was frustrated. You knew what was coming. And I don't know if Golden Tate is the number one receiver. Anquan Boldin certainly isn't at this point. There's no Megatron. I don't understand how, with that receiving core, you allow them to march that far down the field in that short time period. Now, I know there was some luck involved with one of those passes that were caught over. It was over the middle.
Andre Roberts.
Wow. How fitting was that?
Yeah.
just like that was another what's his name?
Robinson.
No. What's the I don't know why I'm losing his name right now. Running back last year. Now with the Cowboys. He scored a touchdown when he came back to DC. Alfred Morris.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like one of those moments.
You said last year.
No, he was a Redskins running back last year.
Oh, okay, I got you.
He scored a touchdown when he came back. Anyway, that was a lucky catch, Andre Roberts. Thank you. But other than that, yeah, and that makes my point even more. Andre Roberts, listen to the receiving corps that beat you.
But it wasn't.
All the way down the field.
The big play was Matthew Stafford having that 20-some-odd run. It wasn't like they had – and they were playing a lot of coverage stuff, too. It wasn't like in zone. And they're playing prevent, too, at the same time. So you're going to give up something. And I guess that goes to Joe Barry's decision to rush three, even that pass to Anquan Boldin. Like, you rush at if you looked at the pass rush was getting pressure with the front four. Now, Stafford was making plays. He was avoiding the rush and stepping up and, you know, missing situations. But you're taking yourself out of the situation, out of a chance to create pressure by rushing three.
Is there a number one receiver, a legitimate number one threat on the Lions?
But the grander issue is
it goes back to my point last week, which would be the key matchup of this game would be Washington's DBs versus the Lions wide receivers. And Lions wide receivers won the matchup during the key juncture of the game.
In that drive. Throughout the contest, they weren't doing anything.
It shouldn't have happened.
Other than Marvin Jones. Other than Marvin Jones' big bomb, they weren't really winning that battle. And to be honest with you, again, if you looked at through zone on zone coverage, playing prevent defense, they did get open. And if you're playing prevent defense, Of course, yeah, they got open. And prevent defense, the middle is open. Where they complete most of their catches? Up the middle. Anquan Boldin, up the middle. That's prevent. You ran three. So it wasn't like their secondary was getting beat by receivers. If you're going to play a prevent type of defense, you're going to prevent yourself from what? Getting a W. And that's what happened.
Well said. I don't know why. I feel like it was just too much respect given in that situation.
Oh, I think a lot. I agree with you. I think it was way too much respect.
Trade choke job.
I think it was
choke too much job, sir.
Way too much respect. You had Will. And Will Compton, I just is like the slowest inside linebacker ever. Like him not getting to that ball is a whole different beast, dog. It's a whole different beast.
Well, I think fatigue played a role in that. Yeah, yeah. I think Will Compton has been playing good football.
You're nice. You're a very nice guy.
Solid football. It's Will Compton. Straight out of...
Stop it.
Chris Byrne will give him a nickname if he got one pick. That's all he needs.
That's all he needs. One big play.
Will, straight out of... That's too easy, though.
Don't start with Chris Byrne. Chris Byrne is one of the more annoying people. Never mind. I'm not getting into all that. What were your thoughts of Kirk Cousins, man?
I think Kirk played a good game. 30 of 39. Two total touchdowns, one in the air, one on the ground at Washington's last touchdown on their last offensive drive. He was efficient. He made plays when plays needed to be made, and he was without his number, which made it more impressive to me, was he was without his number one target, Jordan Reed, mm-hmm. or his favorite target. Mm-hmm. So I think Kirk Cousins, you're starting to see that incline of his play. Mm-hmm. You know, he's starting to go up, and then it'll level off at a certain point.
Too soon to say that.
I think that's what you're starting to see, just like last year.
I think he played well. I still think the Redskins need to learn how to finish drives.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my biggest problems.
Yeah, definitely. Again, this is an offense.
And third down, I hate that third down offense. That goes to the coach. You know, you asked about Cousins. Cousins played a good game.
Yeah, I think
very, very good game.
Like Will said, I think he's been improving. Now you want this team to finish drive and score touchdowns. But I think to me in the Detroit game, that's more Matt Jones fumbling. I'm not going to put down Kirk Cousins, cause I think he did lead a couple of drives and obviously Matt Jones dropped the ball. So, that didn't help out Kirk Cousins, but he's getting better. Hopefully he continues to play. He continues to go upwards. He got a tough Bengals team. We'll talk about the Bengals and the Redskins after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports. Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
Your girl post a BM.
Nah, but they ain't regular, man.
In the deal. Oh, all eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, this your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Well, Rashawn Ross, next time, get in game, man. Inactive. It's not cool, man. I got him doing the bite, and dude is inactive. I don't put down Rashawn Ross, I put that on the coaching staff. The coach staff is, like, very, very annoying.
Ryan Grant played.
Ryan Grant, don't get me started. That's the
Ryan Grant works hard. You heard the coach, bro. He ain't going nowhere.
He needs to go somewhere. Like he needs to be gone. Anyway, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray Jeezy, Will T. I'm Wally. We're on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right, I think Will mentioned some of the injuries on last segment. Josh Norman had a concussion. Brandon Scherff had a shoulder injury. Trent Williams had a knee injury. But look, they all look like they have a chance to play Sunday, which if one player was more important into a game like Sunday, which player would it be?
There's a guy named AJ Green who is definitely going to be paying close attention to the injury report. There's no Josh Norman. He's going to be licking his chops. I already know it.
You agree?
I agree. I totally agree with Ray. But I could make the case for Trent Williams just because Cincinnati has a very good defense. A team that has very good pass rushers, and you need a guy, you need your anchor of your offensive line, your captain out there. But I definitely agree with Ray with Josh Norman.
Absolutely. You've missed Trent Williams before in the past. This is Josh Norman's first season. He sets the tone for the team, not just the defense.
Well, this is my thing. I don't think anybody stops A.J. Green, period. And Josh Norman,
you can't say that.
I think unless you doubling, triple team them, you can't stop AJ.
See, here's the thing. AJ Green might be the best receiver in the league. It's between him and Julio, and yeah. I have a hard time because AJ Green definitely runs better routes. Julio just an athletic freak.
Mm-hmm.
That's besides the point. The reason why I say that is because Josh Norman definitely used to shut down Julio Jones. Not just contain him, he used to shut him down. Which to me showed that he could have the similar success against a guy like AJ Green.
I think AJ Green just is a natural route. I think route runners are too hard to shut down, and he's just a fluent route runner. To me, AJ Green does so much in the passing game. Like you mentioned, route running, mm-hmm. he get a jump ball. It is so much he can do.
His hands are
he's
amazing.
A deep threat too.
Absolutely, so I think he's the best receiver again as a Falcons fan. I just don't want to admit it. But here's the thing. I like my chances with Josh Norman versus everybody.
Of course, I get your point.
And then boys, as our friend says.
And them boys.
There's nobody else
and them
to really speak.
If you can't say anything, and them boys.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm just trying to say these guys are irrelevant. The Redskins secondary is so daggone depleted right now.
Norman and them boys.
I forgot about Breland. I did forget about Breland.
And them boys.
I did forget about Breland, but yeah, he can't
Breland
stop
ain't stopping.
It's not hard to forget about Breland.
Breland played actually other than Antonio Brown, Breland ain't played that bad. Hasn't played bad other than Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown dogs everybody. I would say Trent Williams because I just think like what Will was talking about, the pass rush. That pass rush is me. I think the thing schematically you can try to do to try to take away, not take away, but try to contain a Julio Jones. Schematically, there's some things you could do. Like, I had make sure I have two.
You mean A.J. Green?
I said Julio Jones. I mean, A.J. Green. Ray had me saying Julio Jones. Yeah, A.J. Green. There's things I would do. I would just double them. But Trent Williams is out. That's Kirk Cousins' blind side. We already know how Kirk Cousins responds with pressure. If his security blanket and Trent Williams is there, I feel like that helps out Kirk Cousins. If Trent Williams isn't there, I don't think he plays at a high level.
It's the blocking scheme. That's where coaching comes in at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't.
That's all pro tackle, though, bro.
A coach can't. In my opinion, in this situation, specific to this situation, Trent Williams is replaceable. But
Trent Williams is replaceable.
From a schematic sense, you can block. You can still block. You can still run your same blocking scheme. You can.
Ask Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has no left tackle. He gets punished every.
Andrew Luck has no line. Period,
exactly.
Though.
Andrew Luck holds the ball too long.
That too, but I'm saying, but Andrew Luck.
And that's another thing.
But Andrew Luck.
Kirk Cousins get the ball.
He does get out quick, and I totally agree.
So it comes back to schemes. Maybe I'm not saying it right, daggone it, because I got pressure. I'm sitting next to y'all. I'm close to y'all too. So I can't think when I sit too close to people. It's like the movie theater. But.
Yeah, I don't like that either, to be honest with you.
But, Yeah, understand what I'm saying. Defensively, look, you're already struggling defensively, like badly, and then you're gonna not have Josh Norman against arguably the top wide receiver in the league. Come on, man.
But to your point, though, the Redskins offense hasn't been juggernauts in closing things out, and you're gonna lose to Trent Williams.
It's not about closing.
No, you're saying defense didn't have been like offensively, they haven't finished plays to finish games. You're gonna lose Trent. That makes it worse.
Well, I feel like the team has played without Trent on many occasions. I'm not saying they played well, but you know, go back and watch film of when you didn't have him. It's something you can do. But the point is you're more prepared for the situation. Josh Norman, you need him right now.
They didn't have Josh Norman last year. So your point,
I know.
To your point, they made the postseason, right?
Yeah.
So they're used to not having Josh Norman.
And to our friend on ESPN's point, you won what division?
No, you're right. The NFC, but you're to your point, you're talking about
you played a good team. You played a winning franchise.
No. You said you lost. Your point was
true.
Last year, right? they're used to not playing with Trent. They're used to not playing with Josh.
Have anybody right
but
now.
But they didn't have anybody last year. That's my point. They had like the same people, Dunbar. And Breland.
Knowing what you know now, you didn't.
I like Josh Norman. I like Josh Norman.
Knowing what you. Who set the tone for the team last year? You like that? That was it.
You like that? That was it? Who set the tone? Well,
who set the tone for the defense? I'll be more specific.
D-Hall was like one that...
D-Hall... Give me a break.
He was. It's the truth, though.
See with Josh Norman, the defense had more critical takeaways, two of which he created. An interception where he did the fun bow and arrow thing. That was great.
Yeah.
And the big fumble he had.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from Josh Norman. I'm just telling you that Trent...
If you take away those two plays, then that could have changed... The Redskins.
Sue Craven made a big play.
He did make a big play.
All I'm saying is that Trent Williams is, to me, is more important for this team in that game.
We just having a debate, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You
can't be wrong.
I'm not wrong.
I don't think either one of us are wrong. I don't think we are.
It's totally subjective.
Right.
Exactly, Will T. Thank you.
No. You had to be arbitrary there because he wasn't going to lose.
He wasn't going to back down at all.
Why are we still talking about this? And then boys.
Wally and them boys.
I listen to Wally and them boys. Man, come on, man.
Is this game a must win for the Washington Redskins? Them against the Bengals.
I mean, you ask that just about every week, Wally.
I do. That's the truth, though.
I don't think it's a must win because I'm just making a comment. I'm not calling you out. I'm just making a comment.
Wally and the boys ask that every week.
No, because I don't think it's a must win because Dallas plays Philadelphia Sunday night. And if Philadelphia wins, then Dallas and Philadelphia will be tied at the top of the division.
Yeah, that's true.
And you would only be, what, two games back at that point? No.
The 4-3 right now. The Reds are 4-3. Cowboys.
Yeah. So if Philadelphia wins, then
the Reds are a game back.
Two games back. Yeah.
A game.
Yeah. If you win.
I don't think you got you winning this one though.
I can't pick them. I picked them every week. I should have picked them against B-more like I wanted to. It was Anthony Raposa that changed my mind that day.
I picked against B-more that day. I did.
No, you didn't pick.
I did.
You picked B-more.
I picked B-more. You're right.
All of us picked B-more, even though we should have picked Washington. But anyway, I got the Bengals in this game, just to get to your question.
To be real, I got the Bengals as well.
I have the Bengals as well.
Yeah, we knew you was going to pick the Bengals.
No, last week I picked Washington. He did.
And they lost.
Oh, that's why they lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, so matter of fact.
This dude knows superstitious.
he always give a disclaimer and then go the opposite way.
Why are you so dirty?
Especially with the Rams.
Why are you so dirty?
Especially with the Rams, though.
What?
Just the game Jeff Fisher might win. But I'm not picking the Rams.
Oh, that was hilarious. That one show was hilarious. You had built it up to a point that it looked like you were going to pick the Rams. Now, all of a sudden, you just played off.
We'll get to our picks later. I'm sorry. I wasn't talking. But yeah, we're all picking the Bengals, though. That's great.
We're all picking the Bengals.
Yeah, my official pick is the Bengals.
I think Twitter would agree.
You think so? The Bengals?
Yep.
Now, actually, Redskins, you know how Redskins fans are. They get kind of delusional. We never want to say we're going to lose a game. Anyway, it's over tonight. Of the NBA, but the Wizards play tomorrow. We'll discuss their upcoming games after the break. It's the Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Real T, Ray Jeezy, Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. All right, I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk about the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards play the Hawks and Grizzlies this week. What do you expect from the Wizards against the Hawks?
I'm expecting a loss versus the Hawks.
Really?
Yes. I just think Mike Budenholzer has the pieces necessary for this for Atlanta to defeat the Washington Wizards. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that people are underestimating, I think you'll see a renewed and invigorated Dwight Howard. He's back home in Atlanta. And I'm extremely interested to see how Dennis Schroeder holds up handling a point guard responsibility for the Hawks.
Yeah, that's what I think thinking about.
Yeah, I think Schroeder on John Wall. I think Schroeder.
John Wall gonna eat him alive.
No, yeah. John Wall
can't
John
check
Wall.
John Wall, but John Wall can't check him either, though.
Yeah, and John Wall's in coming off of the injury.
Is that Jay better though? Is Schroeder's Jay better?
It's about John Wall's.
It's about same level as John Wall's.
But John Wall's more explosive.
But John Wall's form is a little bit nicer looking, even though both are ugly. But anyway, I'm looking forward to see a reinvigorated Bradley Beal. You got that money, bruh. Mm-hmm. In preseason, he looked like he was ready to jack. So I'm expecting him to come out, and you know, he needs to lead the team in scoring. Bottom line, this is his team. Based on his contract, this is his team.
Oh, based on the contract?
Based on the contract.
Okay,
so John Wall, obviously, is the most talented player on that team.
Okay.
But based on the contract, this is Bradley Beal's team. And going back to my man Will T., Ernie made him the highest player, what, in Wizards franchise history? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, Bradley Beal, if you don't at least have 20 points tomorrow, that's a problem for me. And they shouldn't lose by double digits if they lose. I think they're going to win personally.
I think the Wizards are going to win.
Oh, Tim Hardaway Jr. I forgot he was on the Hawks.
Yeah, they misuse him though. It's all about John Wall. I just want to see what John Wall brings to this game. I feel like John Wall's motivated. You mentioned Bradley Beal being the highest paid player on the team. That irked John Wall. So I expect to see John Wall show the league, and show the Wizards that he's the best player on the team. And also, I mean, not too long ago, I think I was watching Open Court on NBA TV, and they were mentioning the best point guards in the game. John Wall wasn't mentioned at all throughout that. You know what I mean? They were mentioning Kyrie Irving, obviously, because he won an NBA championship. You got Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and John Wall, to me, it seems like the type of basketball player that looks at that type of stuff and says to himself, you know what, I should be on that list, and I'm going to show you why I should be on that list. So I expect John Wall to start this season with a bang.
He's consistently in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't understand why he's not mentioned with the upper echelon point guards.
I don't.
And Chris Paul, to me, physically, he cannot last for the 82-game grind plus a playoff run, a championship run. Mm. Even though Chris Paul clearly is probably the most talented point guard in the league, most versatile.
Because he can defend and run out. He can run a team.
I mean, he can do everything at his size. It's like, you know, a kind of more well-rounded Allen Iverson. That's the right all-around player. Allen Iverson, obviously skinnier, but they're about the same height.
So what do you expect to see from the Wizards against the Grizzlies?
Wizards versus Grizzlies?
Yeah.
I think the Wizards win that one. Yeah, I think
Marcus Gasol is back healthy. I'm worried about him.
Tony Allen.
To me, the Wizards are soft inside. You got Ime Udoka in this game? No, you don't. And you paid him all that money. This is why Bradley Beal, you can't be so mad at his deal. I mean, it was kind of the nature of free agency. Mm-hmm. But still, Andrew Nicholson, I mean, look at the people they signed this summer and the amount of money they signed. And he looked okay in preseason. Anyway, against the Grizzlies, that's where I hope to see on the second game this season, I hope to see Kelly Oubre kind of start to, you know, blossom. Some would say he showed signs last year, flashes, but I expect him to come out with jitters. I think more of it is expected of him. You got a new coach, a new system. I don't expect him to do much, you know, opening night. It'll be great if he does, though. I will say that he's capable. Mm-hmm. But second game in, starting to hopefully, you know, get adjusted. I know it's going to take some time, but I'm looking to see what he's going to do come game two.
You know, Kelly Oubre, you know, had an opportunity. I mean, supposedly was vying for a starting job at the small four position.
Now, yeah, that's disrespectful.
I don't know what's going to happen opening night. I mean, opening night for the Wizards on against Atlanta on, I believe they play Wednesday. No, they play on Thursday. But he has an opportunity. I'm with you, Ray. I want to see big. I think I I think we're going to see some positive things from Kelly Oubre.
He's got to play tougher. I know that's not his personality based on the fact that we've been up close and personal with him, but I think he needs to play tougher, meaner. But Scott Brooks, this is what he does. He develops players, and
young players.
Kelly Oubre in particular should benefit from that.
Yeah, because he'll get more time. I think he'll get more consistent time. And he's the player that has a lot of upside to him. I'm interested to see how Otto Porter improves. Like last year, he averaged over double figures. Now this year, you know, his jump shot should hopefully be more consistent out the corner. Knowing that you have John Wall, Bradley, be able to help space out the court. So for me, I want to see what Otto Porter has, you know, what he brings to this game. Because to be honest with you, competition is great, and you have Kelly Oubre, who's emerging to be maybe the potential starting three guy for the Washington Wizards. Should definitely push Otto Porter to a point where, you know what, he can't be lazy, he can't be content. He has to definitely play basketball at a high level for him to keep his starting spot. So I'm interested to see what Otto Porter brings to the game. But I think this Wizards team is going to be improved compared to what we saw last year. And hopefully Scott Brooks does what he did in OKC with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, to mention a few, when he had those guys play with him. But so give me a prediction. What do you think the Wizards are going to do this season? Give me their record.
I think the Wizards are 500 team, 41-41.
I was going to say 42-40. Yeah, I think that might be good enough for eighth seed. So
I'm going to go upwards. I'm going to say, not a homer, I'm going to say they win 49 games.
Oh, that's not bad.
49. Want to say 50. Nah, no.
With the way the Knicks look tonight, I think it's going to be hard. And Boston's going to be
good. And the Pacers. Oh, the Pacers.
The Pacers, I expect big things. I wrote about that. Yeah. Go check it out. Yeah. UrbanSportsScene.blogspot.com.
My man, Ray G's. Always nice little plug.
I'm just waiting on the boxing blog. That's what I'm looking for. I've been checking the website.
I know, man. I've been waiting for that too, man. You know.
That makes three of us.
Because what's the name about the fight? Andre Ward about the fight. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, November 18th.
Yeah, I was waiting for that big time boxing blog.
I was watching him. He was on Creed. Now, every time I watch Creed, I think about, like, when is Will going to write a boxing blog? Like,
I think about that too.
Anyway, it's time for our NFL picks. We'll discuss that.
Now, that's real talk.
We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
That's real talk.
You and me living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky. I would have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap came, nipple is mine, with the milk king. Tell nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is, or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you c***s are slick. Popping s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you d***s trying to kid flip? You did opposite, you stay the same. Back with the still you. I love it when I tell them stuff it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall sat. Busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut. Busted muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing. Woke up from that buzzing, now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzing circle around his head, waiting for him to drop dead. Was it, or was it cause them bitches wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now, cause this one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters.
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, my man Ray Jeezy. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Right now, last week, in terms of our team, Ray Jeezy went 8-6-1. Will T went 9-5-1. I, Wally, went 10-4-1. Football Garbage Time, Jason and Scott and Hakun Wong went 8-6-1. Joey and Joanne went 7-7-1. And Ryan went 6-8-1. So finally, man, we want to come up.
You guys finally are over 500. I've been at 500.
Oh, I didn't even say the overall record, but thank you for mentioning it already. Our overall record, Ray Jeezy is me, Ray Jeezy and I are 54-52-1. Will T is 59-47-1. Now you can go ahead and say what you just
said. So that's 12 games over 500, right?
For you?
Yes.
Yeah.
12 games over 500. Yeah. So you're having a very good year if you're going off of my picks. Christmas will be good for the family.
I'm sorry. I messed up. Your name is...
But your win percentage sucks, just like ours.
Will Shardamus.
You're only 5 games up in the standings. It's not a big deal.
Look at that. Listen to the hate. Listen to the hate.
So you saying you have a good Christmas if we listen to you. Your win percentage is horrible.
My win percentage isn't horrible. No, it's 12. It's 12 games over 500.
It's not bad.
While yours is a mere 2.
But no, the funny thing about it, over 500 is always good. So that's one thing I would never.
No, it's not.
It is. It's always good. Especially with the volume of games we're picking. It's good,
it's just like baseball. If you finish over 500, you don't make the playoffs. It doesn't matter.
It's a good team. No, it's a good team. It's not a playoff team. It's a good team.
Real people do real things.
Exactly. Go ahead, man. Stop diminishing our record, dude. You're messing up. Will Shardamus out here bad-mouthing us. I don't need you bad-mouthing us.
I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. I'm just saying our records are... No, we pick...
You're not bad-mouthing. He's hating.
I'm not hating.
That's what he's doing.
No, because... You know, we actually take risks when we pick. Like, Wally,
I take
Wally
risks,
pick,
too.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Very rare.
How you going to tell me?
Wally picks Miami. Who picks the Dolphins?
I picked Miami last week also. So what are you saying?
Yeah, I picked the Dolphins.
Against the Bills, yes.
No, I didn't pick the Dolphins. It's the Bills.
I knew one of y'all did.
He did, though.
The point is, yes.
The Bills were favored.
The Bills should have been favored.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is this has been a wild year.
Some African name running back want to mess up the money.
Essentially, what you're saying, and I get it. Essentially, what you're saying is.
I picked Jacksonville. So each of their victories, I picked them.
That's great for you.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's get into
it. Pat on the back.
Let's get into our
real
picks.
People do real things.
I hear you, man.
Let's get into our picks. Jaguars versus Titans.
Go ahead. Real people do real things, so you lead off.
Titans.
I always lead off. Titans. Don't stop looking at my picks.
I thought that was the spread. I'm not looking at your picks.
I got the Jaguars. No. We picked the Bengals or the Reds over the Redskins. Chiefs versus Colts.
Give me the Chiefs.
Chiefs
are 2.5-point favorite.
I'll take the Colts. Cardinals versus Panthers.
Give me the Panthers. Cardinals are 2.5-point favorite.
I'll take the Panthers.
Give me the Cardinals. Raiders versus Buccaneers.
Give me the Raiders. This line stinks. The Buccaneers are a 1-point favorite at home. Give me the Raiders.
I'll take the Buccaneers.
Give me the Raiders. Seahawks versus Saints.
Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. On the road, give me the Seahawks.
I'll take the Seahawks as well.
I'll take the Seahawks as well. Lions versus Texans.
This is a hard one.
This is a hard one.
I'm
going with the Lions. Texans are a 2.5-point favorite at home.
I got Houston.
Our 2-point favorite at home. Excuse me.
Give me the Texans.
Give me the Texans as well. Patriots versus Bills and Buffalo.
Real people do real things.
Real people do real things. I'm going with Buffalo. Patriots are a 6-point favorite on the road.
I want to take Buffalo, but you just messed it all up for me.
How can I mess it up for you? This is your pick. You do your pick.
No, I'm gonna take the Bills, man. That's who I wanted to take.
I'll take the Patriots.
Yeah, real people do real things, though,
yeah,
right?
Not in this case.
Oh, okay.
Bill Belichick is real.
Early in the show, you kept referencing successful organizations. Now you're going to go against them? Are you kidding me? Against Rex Ryan that just lost to the Dolphins? Not happening, bro.
Rex always plays Bill Belichick extremely tough.
No, that's BS.
No, it's not.
He can be 2-0.
Look at his record.
Bill Belichick.
Look at his record against Bill Belichick.
I'm not saying he win. I said my key word was he plays him tough.
Oh,
I didn't say win.
The Redskins play the Cowboys tough all the time. It doesn't matter.
Nah, not all the time.
Yes, we do.
Not all the time.
The Redskins play the Cowboys. Well, why are we getting into all that?
Not, you, for Michigan, 5 years, you
Michigan
didn't win a game.
Michigan plays Ohio State Tough sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to win.
All right, let's Jets versus
the Browns.
Give me the Browns. Jets are a 4-point favorite.
I'm taking the Browns. This is going to be their first W.
Picture this. I'm taking the Jets. Y'all crazy.
All right, you'll see it. Chargers versus Broncos.
Broncos, 5.5-point favorite. Give me the Broncos.
I'll take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chargers as well. Packers versus Falcons in ATL.
Falcons are a 3-point favorite. Give me the Packers on the road.
Give me the Packers as well.
Give me the Falcons. Eagles versus the Cowboys in Dallas.
Cowboys are a 4.5-point favorite at home. Give me the Eagles.
Give me the Cowboys.
Shoot. I'll take the Eagles.
All right, Vikings versus the Bears in Chicago.
I mean, I'll take the Cowboys. My bad, I'm tripping.
Vikings are...
What?
Cowboys. Sorry.
The Cowboys, I got you.
Vikings are a 6-point favorite on the road. Give me the Vikings.
I'm starting for the Bears at quarterback, so I'll take the Vikings as well.
I think the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings, definitely.
Yeah, I got the Vikings.
Yeah, it's the Bears. Cutler's back, right?
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, easy money. Pick six.
I'll be back in the standings on these picks.
I hope you do.
I hope I get the Buccaneers right. If I get the Buccaneers right, I'm good.
Give me your fancy,
that's going to set the
give
tone.
Give me your fancy pick for the week. Just give me your pick.
I'm going with Jacquez Rogers.
Oh, yeah, he's been balling.
Yeah, yeah. I picked him up on my team. Yep. Oakland has, what, the 28th ranked fantasy defense. So I'm going with Jacquez Rogers.
Give me the Browns quarterback, Cody Kessler.
He's not playing?
No.
Charles, you don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. You picked him, dude.
I picked him. Oh, my God. I picked him, too. Oh, give me Hogan. I'm good. I'll take Hogan. I'm good with that. Give me Hogan.
Okay, yeah. Well, Hogan?
Yeah, Ray, who you taking? You don't have to do that much research.
No. I'm just trying to make sure I know who's starting for the Bengals. Jeremy Hill?
Yes.
All right, I'll take him.
Oh, you know what's name really starts, though?
Giovanni. Yeah,
well, that's why I was trying to pick between the two of them.
He gets most of the carries.
Stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Either or, you can win with either or.
I'll take Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, either or, you can win with both anyway. To be honest with you,
it's the Redskins, bro.
They run defense. It's horrible. It doesn't matter. Will T can run that with his burst. He can run that.
Absolutely.
Can you cut at this age?
Yes, I can cut.
You can cut back?
Absolutely.
I would tear my knee trying to cut. I don't trust myself. Not playing any football.
You got a change of pace going on, Will T?
Oh, my God.
I sure do.
We talked about the Wizards
Michael earlier. Bush.
We talked about the Wizards earlier. Now we'll talk about the NBA as a whole after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, my boy Ray Jeezy. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Did I say that already? I thought you said it already.
You did say that.
Somewhere with Dunya saying it twice. All right, make sure you subscribe to the podcast.
Nah, man. Advertise. Got a plug.
Hit me up on Twitter at @UrbanSports_Ray.
Yeah, and make sure you read what blog, Ray?
Check UrbanSportsScene.blogspot.com. Go back a few blogs and look at my blog about the Pacers off-season acquisitions.
Yeah, and also Chris Bosh, too.
And go read mine about boxing from like 4 years ago. It's fire.
Oh, man. Right now, I don't even want to.
My blog in particular was about Jeff Teague. I thought they were going to acquire Rudy Gay, so he was in there.
Let me ask you this, Ray. While we got you on the air, can we get a commitment for a blog a week?
You slick.
Why are you asking me that?
I'm just asking you. Can we get a commitment for a blog
a week?
We'll
see that question. That's what you need to do.
I'm just asking you a question. I can't ask you a question, my brother.
A commitment for a blog a week? I can commit to that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
I ain't committing to that shit. I ain't committing to that. You ain't worried about me. That's life gets too busy. Ray has been kind of like a motivated blogger though.
He is. He's very passionate. He writes good blogs.
He does. He really
does. You don't need to read all of them, bro.
Yes, I do. I read.
You read the first paragraph. You text me like, Reggie Lewis didn't die in a playoff game. I was like, I never said he did. I was like, wow,
skimmed,
man.
Shows skimmed, exactly. I skimmed through it.
That's not reading.
No, I skimmed through
this
it.
This reminds
when I, no,
me
listen.
Of a movie called Brown Sugar when.
No, you know, see, listen, listen.
Sanaa
Lathan
was talking to Boris Kodjo. He was like, I'll read everything you wrote. He was just trying to have sex with her. You know what I'm saying? That's why he never read anything.
That is Sanaa, though. I don't blame him.
No, nah, because so no, nah, when I saw it, it came up on my email, mm-hmm. and I browsed it very quickly because I was in the middle of doing something.
Oh.
But then I went back
but
and I
took
read
the
title.
Correct me while you were doing something.
Absolutely.
When you can't find your phone, where my other phone go?
Spirited editor.
I can't. Don't you hate when you can't find your phone?
Not really. I feel
naked without
Wally,
my phone.
You hate when you can't find anything.
Ain't that the truth? I kill somebody if I can't find my key.
He couldn't find a receipt. Yeah. He went crazy in my apartment, though. Back when I used to live in an apartment
like,
years
where's
ago.
Where's my receipt?
He was living on couch cushions. Then he left and came back.
Was it dry cleaning?
Nah, you had paid at the gym for something. I don't know.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a basketball league. But
it was, that's true. I needed that receipt, though, man.
For what?
I forgot. I needed it. Anyway, speaking of basketball, right now the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing the Knicks. What score of the game right now? The Knicks are up
46-44. Right? Yeah, halftime. They're
down
two.
46-44.
No, they're down three. Sorry.
46-43. All right, sorry. I keep saying sorry. Sorry. All right, that's cool. I said it one more time.
Ruben Studdard.
What are your thoughts on both teams this season so far? Well, not so far, but your thoughts on both teams, period.
No, I think the Knicks are going to make a surprising run for the sixth seed.
I think they'll be higher than that.
I don't think so because I think you have Cleveland, you have Boston, you have
the Pacers,
you have Atlanta, and
Toronto.
You have Toronto.
Toronto's gonna have a bad year this year. I'm sorry. I think the Knicks will be way better than Toronto. I think they'll be better than Atlanta
way
too.
Better than
I mean,
Toronto?
I think I'm being.
What is Toronto? What does Toronto really have?
I mean, they have DeMar DeRozan. They have
Kyle Lowry.
Look at my face.
They have Dwayne Casey is a good coach.
He is a good coach. Look at my face. You said DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. Look at my face.
I mean, they have DeMar Carroll.
That's a clue guy.
I think Milwaukee's going to be one of the teams that probably.
Yeah, and then you also have Milwaukee.
Have a step up.
They
because
should be
good, I like
though.
The Knicks, but I'm worried about the Knicks staying healthy. I think even Milwaukee showed without Jabari Parker, even though he's not even, I don't think they're top player necessarily, but I think they can adjust and adapt to injuries, and they're well coached in comparison to the Knicks. Jeff Hornacek, he has a lot to prove. If you ask me, so I don't know. I don't know. Six is something that is a bad pick. That might be good. That might be too high for real. We'll see. You think they're gonna be top three or something?
Yeah, I think they're top three team.
I'm a diehard fan. I just don't see it.
I like what I'm like right now. I even like even more. Actually, to be honest with you, I like the roster, but what I'm seeing now, I like it even more. Like I think Derrick Rose will flourish in this offense. Hornets.
I don't.
There's more pace.
Excuse me. I'm not gonna say he won't flirt. I don't think he has the consistent jump shot.
What?
In a triangle offense. Well, in a predominantly triangle run offense.
But Hornacek is gonna. He's kind of tinkered the whole triangle anyway. But for the New York Knicks anyway. Phil Jackson wants a more of a traditional triangle, but Hornacek's tinkered with it a little bit.
I understand
flowing, that. He has more of a flowing. Offense. And what I like about Derrick Rose, and I mentioned this before, before the show, it takes Derrick Rose back to what he was in Memphis. In Memphis, you didn't ask Derrick Rose to be like a 20-point scorer. He was a facilitator. And with Douglas Roberts and folks like that. And them boys, right, Jeezy? And them boys. So here he's got Melo, one of the most pure scorers in this game, period. You have, Noah, the glue guy. You got, Porzingis, who's showing you looks like he's getting better. Every day, you got Courtney Lee. This team, their roster, they got a star, they got a scorer, they got a facilitator, they got a dirty player, not dirty to this
a glue guy,
a glue guy. Thank you. They have everything you want in a good team. You know, when I look at teams like Toronto, yeah, you can talk about DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, but work so hard to score. When you look at the Knicks, what they have. They don't have to work that hard.
I understand that, but when you say work hard, the Knicks players are going to make it hard on themselves for them to score, because they're going to try, certain players are going to try to play one-on-one basketball rather than letting the ball move, mm-hmm. rotating on offense and, passing the ball and making the necessary cuts. So I think at times this offense will get very stagnant, mm-hmm. for one. For two, if Joakim Noah goes down, who are you going to put at center?
Who put center? Yeah. I mean, injuries.
Who's your back line on your defense? You don't have it.
Yeah, that I won't say. That I don't think they have it on their roster now. But I like the parts they have. If injuries happen, LeBron James goes down, who's going to step up for the, like you say, Kyrie Irving? We've seen Kyrie Irving without LeBron James in the past.
I mean, but then you have Kevin Love. Kevin Love can go back to playing the game that he used to play on some levels in Minnesota.
But I'll say this, they both were losers before LeBron. So I mean, how I would look at them is like, okay, so you're talking about the Cleveland.
I think losers is a harsh term.
They were losers, both. I mean, they weren't winning
games. Their teams.
Sorry. You're right. Their teams suck. And they were both on those teams.
That's fair to say.
That's all. So to me, like, you can lose a key card, but to me, you got Melo, and to me, Melo is a guy that's so underrated, and as you're getting him to me in a winning atmosphere. I feel like this movement is now trying to prove that, you know what, we're trying to win games. So I just feel like you get Derrick Rose, Melo. If Noah goes down, I still think that's good enough to win games. Now, will they be as strong? I don't think so. I think Noah is very important. And Ray's probably laughing at me because he knows I hate Noah. But Noah is a guy that is a glue guy that I think helps teams win games. So you have Noah, Rose, Melo. It's a problem. But I'm done with the Knicks. Let's talk about the Cavs.
I think this is a team that confidence is at the highest level, coming off of the championship win. I think also that they have to fight against complacency. They have to fight against that championship hangover. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the darling of the sports world for now, you know, until possibly the Cubs win the World Series. But, you know, because no one really expected you to win that championship last year against a team with the best record ever in NBA history. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to guard against complacency. And then also, I think later on as the season goes on, you're going to have to add another piece.
All right, so
to this roster.
So with the Cavs, then who's going to challenge the Cavs in the East?
Boston. I think Boston. And surprisingly, I think that Milwaukee, their length and Jason Kidd's defensive scheme is going to give a lot of teams in the East a challenge.
I like the Pacers to challenge them. Paul George showed in those battles with LeBron James that he can play head-to-head, and actually LeBron James cannot defend him. Paul George has the size and the length, but not the strength to contain LeBron James. So that's where I think he falls short at. But absolutely, I like the Pacers. Nate McMillan, good defensive coach, mm-hmm. Old-school guy. I believe that he'll bring a lot to the table now that he's running the show there. So I like to pay. I love Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague always does great against the Cavs. It's just he was playing with Paul Millsap and, you know, Damari Carroll and guys like that.
Paul Millsap's a very good player.
Yeah, not against the best teams. When he played with Utah, he plays like he's intimidated, you know. Who can stop LeBron James? Nobody. Yeah. But still, the level of toughness he plays with sometimes against the top upper echelon teams just bothers me, and it always has, in my opinion. Again, this is just my opinion, which is a great one, by the way.
For me, it's the Pacers we mentioned before. It's the Pacers and the Knicks. I think they can compete with the Cavs in the East. I mean, I'm really high on the Knicks. I won't lie. I'm a fan,
and I honestly believe that the Knicks, their ceiling is 50 games. Mm-hmm. I believe if everything has to go right, and this is a 50 is a 50 win team.
It should be a good thing for basketball in the NBA, to be honest with you. We have the Knicks back. All right, you mentioned the Warriors not too long ago, Will T. They look like they're the favorites. Me and Ray were talking about that earlier. Like, they look mean. Who do you think will challenge them in the West?
I like Portland. I like OKC.
To challenge them? Like Portland?
I really like the Clippers. Tough.
I like Portland.
I really like the Clippers.
Every year you like the Clippers, dude.
I really do. and it's not going to stop. I like the Clippers. And I also, a surprise team, the Utah Jazz. I like the Clippers and the Utah Jazz.
To challenge the, Golden State.
You heard it. The Utah Jazz. Golden State.
You heard it. When it happens.
Gordon Hayward.
Come on, bro.
When it happens.
Come on, man.
Listen, when it happens, then holler at me. Then.
Well, here's what's down.
Listen, that's what I was about to say. How can you, someone that's two games over the NFL pick,
that's the NFL, bro,
challenge me when it comes to knowledge of sports?
Picking a, look, we've picked over 100 games already. You know what I mean? Come on, bro.
Listen, I mean,
but it's
how
okay.
can you challenge my knowledge of sports with your track record?
This dude here. Like,
I'm just asking. It's an open-ended question.
San Antonio.
No comment. Next question.
San Antonio. I like OKC, actually. I kind of do like OKC.
OKC's going
to like you. I'm trying to tell you, watch out for Utah.
I just want
to
know why. That's all, bro.
Well, I think they have a vastly talented team. You have Gordon Hayward. You have Jordan Hill. You have Jordan
I like Gordon Hayward.
To challenge.
I like Gordon Hayward.
But if you're going to. You have Derek Favors.
If you're going to present an argument.
You have Rudy Gobert. You have Joe Johnson.
I like Rudy Gobert, though.
You have
Joe Johnson.
Okay, you said Joe
Trevor
Johnson.
Trevor Booker. No, I think that they have a team with a young team with talent. Okay, listen, you can laugh all you want.
I do like Trevor Booker.
I think it's hilarious.
I mean, you can think it's hilarious. That's my opinion.
You know I like Trevor Booker, dude. You know that's
no. The question is not would they be good when they challenge the Warriors, man. That's the question.
Yes, and I'm telling you that the Utah Jazz will challenge the Warriors.
Oh, I can't wait till the Warriors, the Jazz right, beat so, them and I'm going to text
so
from you.
Who,
it could happen.
Okay, who you all have going to the NBA Finals and win it all?
The Lakers beat the Warriors last year, so I don't want to hear it if Utah beats
man,
them.
Man, the Lakers going to challenge the Warriors, dude. It's like, I don't know.
Anyway, what was the question?
Who do you all have going to the NBA Finals and
I think that's
it all?
Pretty... The same
Utah
two teams
Jazz
have gone
and,
the last
the Utah Jazz and the
2 years. No, it's the
Utah
same
Jazz and New York Knicks.
The same two teams for the last 2 years.
I know I picked the Knicks.
The Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors.
And I'm trying to tell you, one of these teams will have to work through injuries, and one of them will not make it. I don't know which one that will be right now, so I'll stick with the easy pick for now. But as Wally does every year, he changes over the course of the season
and
up into the conference finals. So
that's
I have plenty of time.
Yes, you all are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you all have the opportunity
no, the,
to do
the
that.
Reality is most people.
Flip-flops are a dollar.
Most people don't even pay attention to the
John
NBA.
John Curry, I'm a flip-flopper.
Most people don't even pay attention to the NBA this early in the season.
That's true.
They'll watch this first game. I do. I watch nightly.
All of them?
For the most part, yeah. If the Wizards are on or the Knicks are on, I'm watching.
I watch all of them.
Nah, man. Come Christmas, I'll start to pay attention.
That's what I'm saying. Around Christmas, that's when most people pay attention.
Yeah, I know.
I jump right into it from the opening game of the season.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a question. Not really. I'm pretty much done with the whole thing. Who you choose? You chose the same
two teams.
Just for
now. Like I said, I'm open to switching.
All right.
Because I want to. I don't think it's going to be both.
Because
the problem with Cleveland for me is, see, Golden State proved even if Curry gets hurt, they can still win.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if Kyrie Irving is ready for that responsibility just yet. So LeBron James goes down. Because to me, it's bound to happen. He's been in great shape. He's never had any substantial injuries. I think it's bound to happen. I thought it was going to be last year, but it could be this year. Right now in this game tonight, breakaway dunks, 17 points, 8 assists currently, but. I don't know. I'm worried about his health and I don't think Tyronn Lue is that good of a daggone coach. But that's just my opinion.
He's better than Black. Well, he relates to him. Yeah. He relates to him more. So yeah, real quick,
Doc Rivers. Showed him
Golden State. Does Golden State win more than 73 games?
Heck no.
No.
All right. I don't think so either. But they look like they could though.
68.
I think they
games.
Won 70.
I think they're going with 68 games.
Nah.
With the Ranchelo.
I think about 65 games.
65?
Yeah.
The West is pretty – well, the West ain't that tight like it used to be.
Man, people are gunning for these guys even harder now.
That's true. That's true. All right. It's about time to cue that music. We about to go hard in the paint. Walker.
I go hard in the
paint. To do back in the old days.
I'm not doing
that. All right, man. For me – the player I have going hard in paint this week, I'm going to go with my boy Jeff T. Jeff T, you know, coming, you know, leaving Atlanta, has a lot to prove. They pretty much chose Schroeder over him, so I like to see Jeff. I think Jeff T will go hard in paint. He's had about four games this week anyway. He had the Dallas Mavericks. I think it's Atlanta. I had to pick up the schedule, but I'm not sure about that one. But Jeff T for me is my choice for hard to paint.
I like Pau Gasol. He's being written off. No Tim Duncan. DeMarcus Aldridge is not happy. A lot of focus on Kawhi Leonard. I like Pau Gasol go hard to paint.
I'm going with the young power forward out in Denver, Nikola Jokic.
Who?
Nikola Jokic.
Is he a rookie?
No, this is his second year. He was a rookie last year.
Oh, he's a baller?
Yeah. That's why I say I watch, I pay attention to the NBA.
That's real team. That's that diamond in the rough type thing.
Yeah, watch what I'm telling you, people.
I'm giving you credit, man. Giving you credit. Jeff T's went out for me. I already know already. Thanks, Jeff T, man.
Even though he only has two games this week, but I still think these.
Look, man, I was going to choose Otto Porter. That's my dude. I was going to choose Otto Porter. That's my dude. You know what I mean? I was going to, but he's not going to. I don't have no faith in Otto Porter to do it like he needs to do it. Anyway, we about to shut this show down. It was a pleasure doing the sports show with everybody, the full roster. You know, I miss it. You know what I mean? It's touching. I want to cry right now. Thank you, man. Thanks, Will.
Hi. No problem, man. Terrence, I'm always
fist
here.
Terrence Fistbump. That's what I'm talking about. Terrence Fistbump with Ray Jeezy. All right, man. Everybody out there, thanks for listening to us. We appreciate you all. You've been listening. Thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Lane. It's the Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Mega, lead us out, big homie.